but it is for those of whom, for whom it has been prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But if you shall, but it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be a slave for all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served," amen, "but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." As a ransom for many. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, I as always ask you right now, Lord, get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, may it be your word spoken and not mine, Lord. Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to use me today, Lord. May you open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, for the blessing and the message that you have for us today, Lord. Lord, as always, may it be only you that gets glory, honor, and praise out of each and everything that we do here today, Lord. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do, Jesus. And Lord, we appreciate you, Lord. We love you beyond end, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for being an opportunity to be in your house today. I ask you to be with us for the rest of the service. Amen. All right. That's our main one, right? Our secondary scripture today is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 1 to 10. Hebrews 5, 1 through 10. NIV version says this: "Every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. And no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not make himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, 'You are my son. Today, I have become your father.' And he says in another place, 'You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek.'" I didn't get that right. "During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he heard, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became a source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek." Amen. All right, guys, here we go. In this passage today, we're given a profound glimpse into the priestly role of our Christ. The author of Hebrews emphasizes that every high priest is chosen to represent people before God, offer gifts and sacrifices for their sins. But while earthly priests are bound by weakness and sin, Christ's priesthood stands apart, perfect, eternal, and filled with compassion. Today we're going to explore a little bit on how Jesus fulfills the role of the perfect high priest and what that means for us as believers today. Amen? We'll see the humanity of the high priest, verses 1 through 4. The writer begins to explain that high priests were selected from among the people. They shared in human weaknesses and were able to offer sacrifices for their own sins as well as for the sins of others. This makes them able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and wayward because they too were flawed. How many of y'all are flawed today? Amen. The beauty of this arrangement is that God understands each one of our human frailty. The high priest wasn't an aloof figure, was he? He wasn't untouched by the struggles of the people. Rather, though, he was one of them, wasn't he? Standing in the gap between humanity and the holiness of God. This point foreshadows how Jesus would come to us. Not as a distant Savior, right? But as the one who fully embraced the experience of humanity. The second thing we see out of this scripture is the divine calling. Verses 5 and 6. No priest, everybody say no priest, assumes a position on his own accord. Amen. Guess what? That's the same way today. Amen. We don't call our own selves. God calls us. Amen. Even the Levitical priests were appointed by God for their sacred role. Likewise, Christ did not call and exalt himself to become a high priest. He was chosen by God, wasn't he? Appointed as both son and priest in the order of Melchizedek. The mention of Melchizedek here is important. He was both a king and a priest. He was a figure of great significance, wasn't he? Who foreshadowed the eternal priesthood of Christ Jesus. It is not a priest in the traditional Levitical sense, is it? Bound by the laws and the sacrifices of the old covenant. He transcends it, don't he? His priesthood is eternal and brings us a new covenant. A covenant of grace, guys. The third thing we see out of this is the suffering and the obedience of Christ. Verse 7 and 8. That offers a powerful insight into the humanity of Christ. During his time on earth, Jesus offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears, didn't he? This is a glimpse into the agony of Gethsemane, where Jesus himself, fully aware of the suffering ahead, he still submitted to the will of the Father, didn't he? What a profound lesson that is for us today. Jesus, though fully divine, embraced suffering in obedience to the Father. He learned what it meant to be obedient, even through that suffering. How often do we shy away from hardship, thinking that it signals something's gone wrong? But here we see truly that suffering itself can be a path to greater obedience and a deeper connection with God's will for our lives. And the fourth thing is this. It gives us the source of our eternal foundation, or salvation. Verse 9 and 10. Christ's obedience and his suffering culminate in his perfection as our high priest. Through his death and his resurrection, he became the source of eternal salvation for all of us who obey him. Unlike the temporary and repetitive sacrifices of the old covenant, Christ's sacrifice was once and for God, once and for all, wasn't it? As the high priest, as the perfect high priest, Jesus doesn't just offer sacrifices. He is the sacrifice. Amen? His priesthood offers us a way into the presence of God that is not dependent on our goodness or our merit, but on his finished work on that cross. Amen? Hebrews 5, 1 through 10 reminds us of that unique and powerful role that Christ plays as our high priest. He is both fully human, understanding our weaknesses and struggles, and fully divine, isn't he? Appointed by God to offer the perfect and eternal sacrifice. His obedience, even through the suffering, opens the door for each one of us to receive our eternal salvation. So as we reflect on this passage, let us take comfort in knowing that our Savior understands our struggles, our fears, and our suffering. Let us also be challenged today to follow in His footsteps of obedience, trusting that through Him we are made right with our loving God. Amen. in the main scripture today, Mark 10, 35 through 45, we find a profound teaching from Jesus about greatness and leadership in the kingdom of God. The disciples, James and John, come with a request for power, but Jesus responds with a radical redefinition of what greatness looks like, don't he? This passage speaks to the heart of Christian discipleship, comforting our worldly aspirations and pointing us to the true nature of servant leadership. We have the misunderstanding of greatness in verses 35 through 37. Again, James and John approach Jesus, asking for the positions of honor at his right and his left in his glory. Their request shows that they're still thinking on terms of earthly power and prestige, aren't they? Much like we do today. Much how the world views leadership today. They have misunderstood Jesus' mission and the nature of his kingdom. Like James and John, we often measure our successes by worldly standards, don't we? Status, power, recognition, and influence. This can seep into our spiritual lives, where we seek titles, authority, or the approval of others. However, the kingdom of God operates by an entirely different set of principles, don't we? We also see the cup of suffering and the baptism, the sacrifice. Verses 38 and 39, Jesus challenges James and John, asking if they can drink the cup that he will drink or be baptized with his baptism. Here, Jesus is referring to his impending suffering and crucifixion on that cross. He's inviting them to understand that greatness in his kingdom involves sacrifice, not power grabs. Sometimes we don't want to do that part, do we? Sometimes we don't want to have that sacrifice. We'd rather have a power grab, amen? So we're talking about the cup and the baptism. Jesus speaks of the cup as a symbol of suffering, and the baptism represents a total immersion into God's will, even to the point of death, amen? This was a sharp contrast to what the disciples expected, wasn't it? Leadership in the kingdom of God involves self-denial, not self-promotion. To follow Christ means to share in his sufferings. We're called not only to serve, but also to embrace the cost that comes with that service. Are we willing to follow Jesus on that path? Are we willing to follow Jesus to that sacrificial love, even when it involves a hardship for us and even pain? Amen. We also see the rebuking and teaching of Jesus. Verse 41 through 44. When the other disciples hear about James and John's request, they become indignant, didn't they? Jesus used this as a teaching moment, contrasting the world's model of leadership with his own. In the world, leaders lord over it, don't they? They lord over others, using power and authority to dominate. But in the kingdom of God, the greatest must become the servant. In the kingdom of God, the greatest must become the servant. And that gives you true servant leadership, don't it? Jesus turns the world's definition of greatness on its head. True leadership is found in humility and service. Those who aspire to the greatness must be a slave to all, of all. Jesus redefines leadership, don't he? As a life of sacrificial service, not a pursuit of personal gain and personal control. In our homes, our workplaces, our churches, we're called to a different kind of leadership, aren't we? It's not about climbing the ladder, is it? But it's about stopping or stooping to serve. How can we take on that mindset of a servant? How can we use our positions and our influence to elevate others and not ourselves? And in that, we ultimately see the ultimate example of servitude. Jesus is truly a servant for all, isn't he? He concludes with a profound statement. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is truly the heart of our gospel, isn't it? Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, our Savior, came not as a conquering ruler, did he? But as a suffering servant. He gave his life as the ultimate act of sacrifice, purchasing our salvation with his blood on that cross. Jesus should truly be our role model. He is the ultimate example of servant leadership, isn't he? He laid aside his divine privileges. He took on human form and he humbled himself even to death on that cross. If we are to follow him, if you are to follow him, if I am to follow him, we must embrace the same attitude of humility and service. As followers of Christ, we're called to model our lives after his. In a world that prizes self-advancement, Jesus calls us to self-sacrifice. Are we willing to lay down our rights? Are we willing to lay down our ambitions? Are we willing to lay down our desires for the sake of others? Are we willing to serve even when it costs us something? Amen. In this scripture, Jesus radically redefines greatness, don't he? The leadership in the kingdom of God is not about power or prestige, but about serving others and being willing to sacrifice. The path to greatness is a path of humility, of service, of self-denial. Just as Jesus gave his life for each one of us, he calls us to lay down our lives in service to others. Let's take this challenge of servant leadership in our own lives, following the example of Christ today, the ultimate servant and the ultimate Savior. Amen. The beginning of this scripture, James and John, two of Jesus' closest disciples, weren't they? They approach him with that bold request. And he struck back at him, didn't he? Jesus' response back to him, or to them, teaches us the profound lessons of true greatness, humility, and servitude in the kingdom of God. We have that misunderstanding of that greatness. In a world that often measures that greatness by how high we can climb, how many people we can control, and how much influence we can wield. But Jesus flips this world and concept of greatness upside down, don't he? We love it for that, don't we? We got a call to suffering and sacrifice. Again, verse 38 said, are you able to drink that cup that I drink? Are you able to be baptized with which I am baptized? Again, the cup and the baptism refer to the suffering and the death that Jesus will soon endure. Jesus is asking, are you willing to suffer as I suffer? Are you willing to follow me to the cross? And James and John, like many of us here today, not fully understanding the weight of his words, confidently reply, we're able. We're able. Are you able today? Jesus affirms that they will indeed share in his suffering. But he clarifies that positions of honor in the kingdom of God are not his to grant, are they? This teaches us that the greatest in the kingdom of God is not about position or power, but it's about our willingness to share in Christ's sufferings. True greatness involves humility, sacrifice, and a willingness to lay down our own lives for others. Are you ready to be an example of that servant leadership? In a world that often their leaders offering Lord over, or they're using their power to benefit and exercise authority to control people. But Jesus says, it shall not be so among you. We as His followers are not to lord over people. We're not to use it for our authority to exercise, to get something out of it, are we? Because in His kingdom, greatness is defined by service. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be a slave of all. Here in the scripture, Jesus redefines leadership, don't He? Greatness comes through service. Leadership is about humility and self-sacrifice. The highest positions are reserved for those who put others first. Our highest positions in Christ's life are reserved for us that put others first before us. And finally, Jesus gives Himself as the ultimate sacrifice and example of that principle, don't He? For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus, again, He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. The one who has every right to demand service from others, didn't He? He didn't seek power. He didn't seek prestige, did He? But He laid down His own life for the sake of humanity. His death on the cross was the ultimate sacrifice and act of service, as He gave His life to ransom us from our sin and our debt. So I ask you today, are you willing to check your ambition? Like James and John, we may have desires for personal greatness, but we must examine whether our ambitions align with the values of God's kingdom. Are we seeking recognition, power, or status? Or are we seeking to serve others? We must embrace the true call to suffer for Christ. Because following Jesus will be a face, we will face challenges, won't we? We'll face sacrifices. We will even face suffering, won't we? True greatness in God's eyes is not found in avoiding difficulty, but embracing the cross and following Christ wherever He leads. Not where we want to go, right? But wherever God leads us. We can truly serve others selflessly. God's model of servant leadership challenges us to live for others. True greatness is measured not by how many people serve us, but by how many people we serve. Let us ask ourselves, how can we serve others today? How can we reflect Christ's humility in our lives today? In this scripture, Jesus challenges our natural understanding of greatness and calls us to a life of servitude and servanthood. His kingdom is not about climbing to the top, is it? But it's about humbling ourselves to serve. True greatness is found in sacrificial love, following the example of Christ. He gave His life for the ransom of many. If you're saved today, guess what? He gave His life for your ransom and your sins. As we go about our lives, let us strive not for the worldly greatness, but for the greatness that comes out through serving others, just as our Jesus did. For in the kingdom of God, the path to true greatness is in the path of humble service. As we come for the final song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I thank You for getting Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, I thank You for opening our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to the blessing and the message that You have for us today, Lord. Lord, we thank You for the true example of what true leadership and servitude looks like in Your Son, Jesus, Lord. Lord, we ask You just to put somebody in front of us this week, Lord, that we can truly tell about Your mercy, Your grace, Lord, and Your love, Lord. Lord, as always, thank You for allowing Your Holy Spirit to use me today, Jesus. And Lord, we hold fast to our faith, knowing that Jesus has made a way for each one of us. And as we face suffering, let us look to Jesus, who has gone on before us and shown us that through suffering there is glory. Through obedience, there is salvation. Lord, help us to follow your example today of servant leadership. Teach us to be humble, to serve others, and to embrace the path of sacrifice. May our lives reflect your love and grace as we seek to lead by serving. In Jesus' name, Lord, help us to embrace the path of servanthood that you model for each one of us. Teach us to lay down our ambitions for power and instead seek ways to serve others. May we follow your example, a willing to sacrifice for the sake of others today, Lord, knowing that true greatness in your kingdom, Lord, is truly found in our humility and our love. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do. In your name I pray. Amen.